And turn to Genesis. Are we started, Jim?
Yep.
Okay, that means yes. Okay, how many of you got dressed today? Yeah, all of you. Wow, good thing. You know, we get dressed every day, and probably sometimes we get dressed to prepare for whatever we're going to do, right? I mean, if you're working out in the garden or the yard, you wouldn't wear your best suit or your best dress and high heels, but you'd wear clothes appropriate for what you're doing. And if you're going to a wedding, you would get dressed a certain way. And, you know, we do this all the time. We don't even think about it. We get dressed. It's kind of interesting, the subject of getting dressed comes up in the Word a lot, if you think about it. And in Genesis chapter 3, being undressed was the subject. Verse 6, after Adam and Eve screwed up, it says, "And when the woman," chapter 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired and to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So they were naked. They, for the first time, realized they were naked. Pretty crazy. They didn't perceive their nakedness, however, until what? They sinned. Yeah, because they were clothed with spirit before that. Right. And, you know, there was no knowledge of sin, right? There was no knowledge of evil. Verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Thank you. Bless you. And that's the first time that anyone talks about fear. "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest with me, she gave the tree, and I did eat." And so on and so forth. And she talks about being beguiled. And then we get down to verse 21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." You know, they tried to clothe themselves, but God stepped in and clothed them. And, you know, they caused themselves to understand that their nakedness because they disobeyed God. They were contumacious, disobedient, stubbornly disobedient. I had to throw that in there. And so God had to clothe them. He had to cover them. And certainly there's a parallel there to the spiritual aspect. You know, spiritually they were clothed with spirit, they sinned, they lost spirit, they recognized and understood their nakedness, so then God had to clothe them. And you know, then the whole Old Testament's about sense, knowledge, man, isn't it? And God trying to get him back to the point where he would have spirit again. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, you're all familiar with this verse. Verse 49, Jesus Christ is speaking to the apostles, preparing them for his departure and for the giving of Holy Spirit. And verse 49 says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And the word endued is the word that means fully clothed. Fully clothed. What were they going to be fully clothed with? Spirit. Spirit, right? Holy Spirit. That's what they're going to be endued with. Today, we are spiritually endued with power from on high, Holy Spirit, right? We have Holy Spirit. Can you get any more Holy Spirit than what you have? No. You have every bit as much as you can possibly get. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus 40. If you go and read through the Old Testament, God addresses clothing a number of times. And they had restrictions on their clothing. They had to wear certain clothing at certain times. They were prohibited from wearing certain clothing. The priests had special garments when they went into the Holy of Holies. In chapter 40, verse 12, it says, speaking to Moses, God says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water." They were to be cleansed, washed with water. "And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." You know, why are they holy garments? You know, were they special thread and stuff like that? No, it's just they were special garments, and they were designed, and God told Moses what to make and how to make them, what they should look like. And only these garments could be worn by Aaron or the high priest, and he had to wear them when he went into the Holy of Holies. And so that's why they were holy, because they were separate. They weren't common clothing. They were special for just that particular time. You know, we have in our society and, you know, in life, people wear certain clothing at times for certain things, don't they? That are set apart for specific purposes, or, you know, when a surgeon goes into the operating room, he has to wear certain garments, doesn't he? He wears scrubs, and they're sterile and clean, and then when they finish, they get rid of them. They throw them in the laundry. When people work in laboratories and do certain things, right, Michelle? They have to wear certain outfits so they don't get contaminated or contaminate what they're worked on. You know, they're set aside as special garments. Well, this is a special garment that God set aside, and it's holy because they're set aside for God's work. They're separated for God's purpose. So they were holy garments. So it says in verse 13 again, "And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, and thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats." And they too were to wear special garments when they came in and ministered to God. So that's pretty cool. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This is also kind of interesting. This is where Solomon is dedicating the temple. He's dedicating the temple to God, and all of Israel's there. It was a big deal. David, his father, had prayed to God and wanted to build the temple, but God said, "You're a man of blood, you know, of war." And Solomon was a man of peace, and so Solomon was the one that got to build the temple and to dedicate it. In verse 40 it says, chapter 6, it says, "Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant." So here, Solomon prays, and apparently he prayed by revelation, and he said, "Let your ministers be clothed with salvation." So that when they ministered, you know, they would minister salvation, wholeness to people, deliverance. So that's kind of a figurative use of the word clothing, isn't it? They would wear special clothing when they went in to minister to God, to go into Holy of Holies. But Solomon prayed that they would be clothed with salvation. Pretty cool. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 1. You probably like this, Linda.
Yeah, I do.
I think you should do a whole study throughout the Bible. Okay, chapter 1, verse 24 of 2 Samuel. This is Samuel speaking. In verse 23 says, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Scarlet and delights, which means jewels or ornamentation, and ornaments of gold, means that they were dressed richly. You know, scarlet and purple represented richness. And so, you know, he's talking about how they were clothed, the people prospered, and they were clothed richly. Let's go to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. And verse 16 we're going to look at. This is a psalm. These psalms back here, there's a bunch of them. They're called Songs of Degrees. And it says in verse 11, the Lord had sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Speaking of the coming Messiah, he would come from David's bloodline and he would sit on the throne of David, speaking of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So, you know, here he again talks of clothing them with salvation, speaking of all of Israel and the priests and everybody. So God speaks about clothing, and he speaks about it figuratively. He speaks about it literally, and it always has a representation of something. In the New Testament, the age of grace, it tells us to put on clothing, and it tells us to put off things, doesn't it? So let's go to Romans. Chapter 13. Romans 13. So I just want to give you a little background there that clothing does mean something in the Bible. God uses it. It represented things. Just like it does today. You know, you see somebody dressed well, you think that person must be doing good. In the Old Testament, when they dressed certain ways, it meant they were doing well. When people dressed a certain way, you know, like most clergy or a lot of clergy in certain denominations wear certain clothes, you know that they are a minister or a pastor or a priest, and they do that because it goes back to the Old Testament, you know. It doesn't tell us to do that in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament they were to do those things. Romans 13, verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Pretty cool. We're to get rid of the works of darkness. And we are to put on the armor of light. Now, you can't literally put on the armor of light, can you? Where do you put it on?
Your mind.
in your mind, in your heart. And this is in the context of the renewed mind and the practical application of God's word, understanding what God has done for us by way of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, how do you put on Jesus Christ? And that word put on is like putting on clothing. So how do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, you put on the word. Let's go to 1 Peter. We'll see a little bit about how we put on Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So if we were going to follow in his steps, we would be committed to God, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. We'd be committed to him who judges righteously. So that's one way we can put on Christ. That's one way we can put on Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we're going to begin. See, in the Old Testament, God talked about them putting on physical clothes. Way back in Genesis, they were naked because they lost spirit, and God promised that he would clothe man again. So we have Holy Spirit. We are fully endued with Holy Spirit. But we also, in the renewed mind, are to put on the things of God. So if we're going to be like Jesus Christ, to follow his steps, we're going to be committed to him. We're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Jesus Christ is the thoughts of Jesus Christ. And if you go back and look in the Gospels, Jesus Christ tells you what he thought. What did he think? God's word, right? He always did the things that God wanted him to do. He always pleased the Father. We were talking a little bit before outside, before everybody was here, about the Sabbath day, and I talked about it last week at the picnic too, how, you know, he would get criticized for doing things on the Sabbath day. But in Isaiah, it says the Sabbath day is for God. It's not to do your pleasure, but God's pleasure. So if Jesus Christ was doing God's pleasure, he was doing what he was supposed to do on the Sabbath day. The prohibition was not to do work. It was to do no servile work. But it didn't say anything about doing God's work. There was no prohibition to that. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the word equal means to agree. He didn't think it was a problem to agree with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And of course, Jesus Christ, when he spoke to the apostles and instructed them, he said, the greatest of you will be the greatest servant, right? And that was Jesus Christ's whole thing. He was a servant. He served God. And he was willing to do whatever it took to be a servant. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 5. Chapter 5 of John, verse 30. Jesus Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing, As I hear, I judge. As one of the most unbelievable, incredible, amazing statements ever made by a man. Because Jesus Christ, of all people, said, I can of myself do nothing. So when we think we're hot stuff, just think about that statement and that'll get you right back on track. Because we really can't do anything on our own. We're pretty helpless. And Jesus Christ understood that we always need God, and he was the first one to admit it, and he was the most humble in that situation and that mindset. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You know, if we could just do that, I mean, we would have such an amazing life if we just could zero in on doing God's will all the time. What would our life be like? It'd just be, maybe we couldn't handle it. I don't know. Let's go to chapter 8. I think we probably could handle it. We'd be really blessed. Mm-hmm. Chapter 8, verse 29, he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. That's pretty great. Yeah. So if we're going to put on Jesus Christ, we have to put his thoughts on. We have to have his attitude of submitting ourselves to God and serving, and we have to do our best to do God's will and to please God in all that we do. That's how we put on Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. We are to clothe ourselves. So putting on Jesus Christ is one thing, and it tells us specifically to put on some other things. Chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And sober means to have whole thoughts. It does mean to be sober, but it means to have whole thoughts. And if you're not sober, you don't have whole thoughts. It's pretty simple. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So we're to put on the breastplate. Breastplate would be, in ancient times, like, you know, protection, armor, a breastplate. Sometimes it was made out of thick, stiff leather. It was formed so it would fit on the chest, and sometimes they would make it out of metal, and they would put it on there. It would protect them in battle. So we are to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Believing and love. That's going to protect our heart, isn't it? And then it goes on to say, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Yeah, the hope. That hope of salvation, you know, the return of Christ, and that we're going to be totally delivered. We're to put that on as a helmet that protects our brain. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, all those things fall into the category of the flesh, don't they? And it says, mortify therefore your members, meaning keep your body, your flesh, your desires and all that stuff under control and subjection. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon or on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And you know, sometimes we still dabble, don't we? Occasionally, here and there. We dabble in that stuff. But God says we're not supposed to do that. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And to put off means to take off like you take off a shirt. You know, you think about these things. Isn't it fun to just wear the same clothes and the same underwear day after day after day? Any of you ever do that? You ever go camping where you don't really get to change clothes for a day?
Yeah.
Or 2 days and you feel, you can't wait to get home and take a shower? When I was in the Army, we did that, you know. We would bivouac out in the middle of nowhere and we'd be there for 2 or 3 days and you couldn't take a shower, you couldn't change clothes. You imagine guys in wartime when they're out, like in World War II, I remember reading about the guys in the Pacific, the Marines, and they're on these islands and they would get into these battles, and these guys were stuck in one place for weeks. They couldn't move, they couldn't take a shower, they couldn't change clothes, they were stuck in foxholes. I mean, just horrible. Well, you know, that's what we do when we live in our lust and in our flesh and let those things into our lives. You know, it's like hanging out in your old underwear. Trying to make it live for you, you know. Good. Glad to hear it. So we're to put off that old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're to put on, just like you put on a clean shirt or a new jacket. Isn't it great to put on new clothes? You know, it feels good when you put on clean clothes or new clothes, you know, nice and crisp and they smell good and all that stuff. Well, that's what we're to do spiritually. We put on the new man. You know, we're the body of Christ. We're to put on that. We put on the new man. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're to put on bowels of mercies. That's pretty cool. Bowels of mercies, compassion, kindness. Kindness, that word kindness, I believe, is where you are. You do good things, and it doesn't matter, you know, if people are thankful for it or, you know, appreciate it or not. You just do it anyway. Humbleness, you know, humbleness of mind. You know that God's bigger than you. You know that God, you need God in your life. Can't do it on your own. Meekness, you're willing to receive. Long suffering, you can bear up under pressure. You put up with stuff. You're enduring. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, forgiving, there's one word, I'm not sure if this is it or not, but it's charismatzo, or it's from the word grace. It's to be gracious, show favor, you know, towards one another. Forgiving. If any man have a quarrel against thee, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond, the glue of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So we're to put those things on. We're to put them on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Same thing as it says in Colossians, right? Basically, put off the old man. Take it off. Throw it away. Put it in the hamper. Burn it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And putting on Christ, putting on the things that God would have us put on is, you know, in the renewed mind. We have Holy Spirit. We're fully clothed with Holy Spirit. Can't lose that. But to see it manifested in our lives, to see God's blessings and benefits manifested, we have to renew our minds. We have to put these things on. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. You know, it's amazing. Ephesians is written to who? The faithful in Christ Jesus. Yet here in chapter 4, he has to remind us to put away lying. That's pretty great. Because you know why? Because we're human. We just have this condition. It's called idiocy. And we have to be reminded continually of what we are to do and what we're not to do. And we have to, you know, you can renew your mind, but it's not a permanent condition. You know, you have to keep doing it. It's a continuous thing that we do. So putting on, you know, you put on clean clothes every day, right? Well, you have to put on the mind of Christ every day. It just doesn't stay on. You have to put it on. So, where to go? Put away lying. Speak every man the truth of his neighbor, for we are mirrors one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun get down upon your wrath. You know, you're not to stay angry. You need to give place to the devil. Just don't let him in. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The reason we are to work, the reason that we are to prosper is so that we have to give. We're not to steal. Again, you know, you have to put that stuff off and put the right stuff on, right? Let no corrupt communication, no putrid rotten communication proceed out of your mouth. But, in contrast, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're to minister grace. Minister favor. We're to be gracious. We are to give favor to people. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And to grieve not the Holy Spirit just simply means don't make God sad by not renewing your mind. That's really what it means. Don't make God sad because you don't want to renew your mind. Did you ever get mad and say, I'm not renewing my mind. I'm not doing it. Well, it makes God sad. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We're to put it away. Put it away. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Chapter 6. You know what this says. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God, we're to put it on. It's like clothing, we're to put it on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all, stand. So he says it twice. And why does he say it twice? Because he really wants us to do it. Right? It's an emphasis. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against blah, blah, blah. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God. They may be able to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, or believing wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, when you think about how easy it is to put on a shirt, or a pair of pants, or a dress, or a pair of shoes, why does God make this comparison? Because we do it all the time, don't we? You know, if you can put on a shirt, you can renew your mind. I think I'll put this shirt on today. Gee, I think I'll put love on today. You know, we can do that every day. And finally, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I thought this is kind of cool because that's all in the renewed mind. But at the end, when we are gathered together, God says he's going to do some other stuff for us. Behold, chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Isn't that great? We're going to be clothed with incorruption. We're going to be clothed with immortality. That's much better than a silken worsted suit or a silk dress or, you know, whatever you like. The coolest jeans you ever had. I don't know. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, we're going to be clothed. You know, Adam and Eve screwed it up, and then they said, oh, we're naked. And God had to clothe them. And you know what? He's going to clothe us again. He's going to clothe us with immortality and incorruption. What a great thing. So it's pretty cool. God says, get dressed. Put on all those things in your life. We're to put on Jesus Christ. We're to put on holiness and love and forgiveness and graciousness and all the other stuff. So, amen and amen.